Good evening, everyone. I greet you this evening in the precious name of Jesus. It's wonderful to be gathered together again to look into the Word of God. The sweetest words, one of the sweetest words in the English language is come. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord wants to bring rest to the soul. And that's the greatest rest that you will have, is that rest for the soul. My title tonight is Building Codes and Violations. A lot of us men know what that is all about, building codes and violations. Jesus said that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is nothing, or anything, I should say, that is going to stop the building of the Church of Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years now, Satan tried to do away with Jesus, and it will never work. No one will stop the building of the true Church of Jesus Christ. It would be easier to stop a storm that comes up the East Coast, say a snowstorm or whatever, and Obama would send out the Army and the Navy to try and stop the storm that's coming up through. He gets his guns out, his ammunition, and the missiles out. You know what? Obama will not be able to stop the storm. It's going to come regardless of who tries to stop. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It would be easier to stop the storm than to stop the Church of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to be part of such a strong force. The strongest force in the world is the church. I'm thankful that the cross still stands. My sons sing that in one of their CDs. And I noticed that you have a cross up here. The city of Reading, for many years, put up a cross on the top of the mountain on city property. And the ACLU last year had a lawsuit against the city of Reading, and they said, you must take the cross down. It's been up there for years and years. Got to take the cross down. Well, up in our mountain, on the other side, there's a mountain here, and then there's a valley, and then there's a mountain over here, and there's very few houses up there. But a man put up a big cross that can basically be seen all over the city. Actually, crosses went up a lot of places here and there. Catholics put them up. You know, they try to get rid of the cross. So my son decided, Brian, that he's going to put up a cross too. So they live on top of a hill. And the cross that they made, I really don't know how high it is. Is it higher than this ceiling, or is it, no, I don't know how, about that high. There's a cross that we put up on our side of the mountain that a lot of people, when you travel a few streets, you can't help but see the cross. Folks, the cross still stands. The tomb is empty. People line up for blocks and blocks to look at nothing over there in Israel. Our Jesus is not there. He is here, he is risen, and we have that same power in each one of our lives. Well, building codes and violations. I was never much of a builder. When I was about 13 years old, I built a hut and put a lot of time in it. Had a bathroom in it and all. Okay, I had a hot water heater. That was our stove. I mean, We thought we had a pretty nice hut. We did. Spent a lot of time. My brother decided he's going to burn it down because our ceiling was like feed bags and whatever we could get for a ceiling. Well, he almost accomplished it, but we got it out. But that hut is there no longer. The hut is gone. We had neighbors there, so we built a tree house. My neighbor and I, about 14, 15, we were somewhat in the mischievous side at that age. We built this tree house. And so the neighbor boys built a tree house also on my dad's property. And theirs was nicer than ours. Me being a bad boy, I went to them boys and I said, my dad said you'd tear that down right away. Well, that was some of my building. I also built an airplane. My neighbor and I, we built an airplane, and it flew. Well, anyhow, let me explain it to you. We decided we were going to build an airplane. My dad tore down his corn shed, and there was lots of lumber laying there. And so we decided we're going to build an airplane. And we built it on Dad's hay wagon. And we'd build a pretty nice airplane. I mean, a place where the pilot would sit and passengers would sit in it. And I'm guessing that the plane was about as high as up here. We had a hard time getting in it, but we'd climb up a tree and get in that plane. And when all the cousins were around or neighbors, where would we line up at? We'd line up with a plane. It was fastened by a rope in the back and a rope in the front underneath the belly of the plane. And we could really get this thing going. I mean, we get this thing going back and we could go this way and that way. And after a while, we kind of got tired of it. And we decided we're going to have an airplane crash. Okay? He said that he will fly the plane. I tell these stories for the children, okay? To keep them involved in it. And you parents can listen in if you want to. Anyhow, he got up in the plane and I climbed up the tree. And we decided that we'd cut the rope that goes around the front of the plane. And so I climbed the tree. Every good farm boy had a pocket knife. And I climbed up in the tree. And he starts swinging this thing back and forth. And I was up there cutting. And all of a sudden, the front of the plane came down and crashed and hit the ground. And we were about 15 years old, 14, 15. He got out and he said, I wasn't ready yet. Well, anyhow, that was about the extent of my building, folks. I didn't do a whole lot of building. But tonight we want to build. We want no violations in building of the church. Just your room here, as I look around, there's some things that are in this room that when the inspector came through, you had to have a panic door there. You just couldn't have a regular door with a knob on it, okay? It wouldn't have passed the codes. You had to have exit lights there. That was not just if you want to or if you don't want to, okay? There's an exit light there, and there's an exit light there. And, you know, what is the reason to have an exit light? Everybody knows that comes to church here. That probably goes out, and that probably goes outside, and that probably goes outside too. I guess so you don't go in this room back here. I don't know. But you have to have exit signs. The inspectors came to our school a number of years ago. We have them there quite often. But they came there, and they said, I see a fire extinguisher back there. All kinds of things I see around here that you have to have. And they said, we're out. We want to make sure that no one gets burned, that no one gets hurt. And this was pretty much for me. So I finally said to the one inspector, you know what? You talk just like I preach. And, well, he didn't know if he'd like that. Because there were a couple other inspectors along, and then he started calling him the Reverend. That was to my benefit, you know. But building inspectors, we all know, can be somewhat of a pain. And But you got to do it. If you don't do it, they're going to fine you. You're going to get a fine. It's not whether or not you want it or not. You have to do it. Or, like I say, you're going to be in trouble with the city. Well, I want you to open your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And beginning reading at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. We want to be wise builders. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. When you build a building, we just built a new gym. It's about a year old now. And before we were allowed to continue, the inspector had to come out and check the foundation. You could not go ahead until the foundation, he come out and he looks at the foundation and he says, the foundation is okay. Folks, a lot of problems in the church today is the fact of the foundation. Now notice what it says here. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. First of all, you have to be born again. You've got to have Jesus in your heart. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You've got to love the Lord. There got to be a tremendous, solid foundation above all peer groups. Peer groups can keep us from serving the Lord. The foundation must be that the Bible says, ye must be what? You must be born again. The problem with a lot of churches today, folks, is the foundation. They're not born again. When you are born again, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. When you are born again, folks, I want to tell you something. You are going the opposite way that the world is going. The world, folks, is getting worse and worse. The world is going one way, and we as Christians that are born again and becoming more holy, we are going the other way. We are getting farther and farther and farther apart all the time. If you're getting closer to the world, folks, I want to tell you something. You're in trouble. The church is not something that is following the world just 2 miles behind. Okay? That's not the church. The church is not following the world. The church is going, it's taking its own route. The church, the Bible says, the road is narrow and there's few people that are going that direction. The Bible tells us that the road to hell is a wide road and many people are going that direction. So, folks, you're getting closer to the world. You got an issue and a big one. We are not following the world. We are following the Lord. He is taking us. Jesus said, love not the world. When my dad told me not to do something, okay? My dad had a firm hand, a loving heart. And I was the kind of guy that would wait till the last minute to obey my dad. He'd go, if I didn't obey, okay, he'd go like this. And he would say, by the time my hands are together, you would better move. Okay? And I knew that. And I can only remember one time I got paddled, and that was enough. We were at the butcher. And the big fat, I remember he was a big fat butcher. He was leaning over the table like this, cutting meat. And I acted like I was going to crack him. I was standing in the back going like this. Just stopped right before it hit. We got home. My pop got out the paddle. You know what? I didn't want another one. No, I didn't. Okay? So, we've got to make sure that we are going the direction that the church is going. When the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love the world, folks, the Father is not in you. A first grader can understand that verse. So I can't go the way the world is going. You know, when you love somebody, you don't have a hard time loving them, do you? I love my wife, boy, I tell you I do. And when we were dating young people, I was in 1W service, okay? Instead of going to war in Vietnam, they sent me off down to Washington, D.C. And I was dating this young lady. And about every Wednesday, I'd get a letter, okay? And you know what? I didn't mess around when I got home. I didn't say, must I go to the mailbox? Must I get this letter out and read it? I just don't feel like it today. I just, you know, I'm tired, and I got out of bed late this morning, and I just don't have time. Is that the way I was? I'll tell you what, folks, when I got that letter, that was priority. I read it once. I read between the lines. I read that thing over and over again, and I probably added some things to it that you shouldn't do, okay? But I loved her, and I want to tell you, folks, when you love Jesus, you're going to love his fellowship. So we're going to be building a house tonight, okay? And I should finish this verse here yet. Let me go down just a little bit to show you why we're building this house and who's going to live in the house. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are in the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Okay? We are building the temple of God. All right? We are the temple of God. We are the building that we're going to be building. And if we defile the temple, what is he going to do? What does it say? Destroy. I'm telling you, folks, we have a lot of destroyed Mennonites. Yeah, we do. No use we talk about the Baptists tonight or the Pentecostals. We got enough of problems ourselves. Okay? Don't destroy. Don't destroy the temple of God. For so first of all, you want to make sure that you are born again. Because the Bible says, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to get to heaven. So we know in last days, the Bible says, a lot of people are going to be falling away from God. Christians are going to be falling away from God. That is, the Bible says it. I see it happening. People are falling away from God. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? He that doeth the will of God. So, folks, it's not an option. There are some things that are not an option, okay? There are some things that are options. I have convictions and I have preferences. If I have a conviction, I will not change. I will die for it. If I have a preference, I probably won't die for it. But there are some things, folks, that we cannot change. It doesn't matter who the pastor is. It doesn't matter who the attorney is. It don't matter who your last name is. It doesn't matter how much money in the bank. You cannot change the Word of God. Can't do it. Take, for instance, the covering. I remember when the church, I'm at the age now where and I don't cut up people, okay? I know you're part of the Lancaster Conference, and I'm Keystone. I wish you were Keystone. No, I'm just kidding. I remember when the covering, okay, really became an issue. And out of my friends, I would say that about 80% of them, 80% of them dropped their covering. That were my age group, probably about 80%. And I remember when congregations would vote on it. Are we going to keep the veil, or are we going to get rid of it? I want to say, folks, what happened? We have a school there with every denomination you can think of, okay? I'm a pastor of an interdenominational group, okay? I believe, folks, that divorce and then remarrying, I have a conviction that that is wrong. That's my conviction. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. I believe that the Bible teaches that a woman should be veiled. Well, the girls would come to me there at school. Remember, we have Baptists, we have Pentecostals, we have everything you can think of. And in our Bible studies, it comes up, well, what if you don't wear the covering? Will I get, you're telling me I'm not going to get to heaven? Are you going to tell me that my parents that are divorced and remarried and are not going to church are going to go to hell? What would you tell them? Tell me, what would you tell them? Well, because it touches my heart. Folks, it's not what touched. When we get to the judgment seat, folks, you won't be judged on your convictions. You won't be judged on how your church feels. You're going to be judged according to the Word of God. Whatever's in this book, folks, that's how you're going to be judged by. And you cannot change it. Don't even try it. Can't do it. You can go through the motion and pretend. You can vote on it all you want to vote. When the Bible says something, folks, that settles it. That's it. Can't change it. So don't even try it. Well, I would say this. I don't know how much grace God has. I know He has a lot, or I wouldn't be standing here. I don't know how much mercy He has. I wouldn't be standing here, folks. But I say the way I understand the Scriptures, that it's wrong to remarry after divorce. That's the way I believe. What about the covering, these girls say? You telling us we're not going to get to heaven? I say, all I know. All I know is what the Bible teaches, and the Bible teaches that a woman should be veiled. I can't change that. Who am I to change that? Who am I to say, no, you don't have to do it? You know what the Bible says about preachers? The Bible says that they're going to have to give an account. You know, you're going to have to give an account, Mark. That gets things a little on the serious side, you know. When you start doing away with the Word of God, I was at a place I shouldn't have been. My wife scolded me for being there. But I was at the place for a lady that tried to get rid of the cross and the tomb, the empty tomb. The lady that took Bible reading and prayer out of schools. She was there in the city of Reading. She got a Bible. She tore page after page after page after page out of the Bible till the whole stage was covered. And then she walked around and said, this is what I think of the Bible. You know what that did, folks? That wakened up the Christians. And after that, a lot of Christian schools started. The devil meant it to destroy, but I praise the Lord, folks, when the devil has something in mind, that the Lord can turn it around for our good. Well, we cannot change the Word of God. Well, we better start building, or we'll not get finished. You know, when Jesus, in John chapter 4, you need not to turn to this, but the cleansing of the temple, Jesus walked into the temple, and He saw the people buying and selling. They weren't worshiping like they should have been worshiping. And it's hard to see Jesus doing this, but I know He'd done it because He still does it to me once in a while. He comes into my temple, He gets out His whip, and He starts paddling me good. You know, when the Lord starts swinging that whip, It can hurt. Well, he went in there and he saw that they were as making it a den of thieves. He makes it, gets his whip, and he starts chasing the animals and the people out of the temple. He gets a hold of the table where the money was. He upset the table. The money flew, the birds flew, and he was swinging his whip. And as I say, folks, he still does that. He whips me at times. He gets that old whip out. But whom the Lord loveth, what does he do? He chasteneth. Somebody that I love. I just told a guy in school, he was being very bad. He's about 15 years old. I said, the reason I'm disciplining you is because I really love you. I could just let you go and disobey your authorities, your teachers, your parents, and all that kind of thing. But I said, I care about you. And he said, thank you. I don't know if he meant it or not, but he said, thank you. You know, folks, the Lord sometimes comes into our lives and he upsets the money. He upset the money table for me already, and I lost a lot of it. Couldn't find it after that. You ever lose money, men? You know? Next time you lose $100 or so in a business transaction, just think, maybe Jesus came into your business and upset the table because he was tired of you doing what you were doing, okay? And try to focus on things that are much more profitable than money. And men, I have the same problem that you have. You know, a lot of men, we know more about a good business than we do about raising our children. And it shouldn't be that way. There's a lot of fathers today that put their business ahead of their children. Don't do that, fathers. Don't do it. The greatest joy I have is to see that my children are walking in the truth. And I'll tell you, that's why I'm a happy father. All my children, to the honor and glory of God. All right? To the honor and glory of God. Well, let's look at some foundations here that we need to, that we want to build on. Thinking about the wise man, the foolish man, how he built his house on the sand. And, you know, the Bible says, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. I said that, okay? The man that built the house on the sand, did he work hard? You don't think so? I think he did. I think he worked just as hard as the man who built his house on the rock. He had to put up a frame. He had to put windows in. He had to put a roof on it. He put a lot of time. He put a lot of time, folks, in building that house. What was his problem? The foundation. Folks, you can do all you want to in the church. You can teach Sunday school. You can be the trustee. You can be the preacher. You can be the worship leader. You could be whatever you want to do it, folks. But if your foundation is not there, your house is going to fall. So we have to have a good foundation again. It was winds, waves, or water. There are three things there. And see, I have marked down here. Let me just get this here real quick here. It was rock, rain, and winds. And we're all going to have that in our lives, folks. We're all going to have storms. We're all going to have storms, folks. I had a storm in November. I just mentioned it last night when my daughter passed away. That was a real storm in my life. Actually, I was pretty, at one point I was half mad. I'll confess. I had my keys in my hand. I was up in the bedroom and I threw them across the floor. I said, Lord, where are you? You know, why are you doing this to me? My daughter loved the Lord. She built her house on the rock. And when the storm came, I'm telling you what, she had the most beautiful death, not because of my daughter, but she had the most beautiful death that I've ever seen. I would go there to encourage her. And I couldn't help but cry. And then she'd look up at me from her bed and she'd say, Daddy, be strong. Boy, I'd use a fix me. Daddy, be strong. Folks, if my house would have not been built on the rock, the storm would have taken it down. And I've been with a lot of people, and I have funerals there in Reading, because they have no church, they have no pastor, so they call me. I see a lot of people, folks, that have no rock. The foundation is not there. The storm comes, and it totally, the house blows over. Well, what all do we need in our house? I have a list here that I'm going to have to find that when the code inspector comes around, that he finds these things. And, first of all, folks, if you're going to get anything out of these revival meetings, you know, we're going to be building. The first thing before you even put the foundation down, I just about missed this. Before you put the foundation down, every carpenter, he has a blueprint. You have a blueprint. You just don't start, we'll start building a while, and maybe we'll put the kitchen over here, and maybe we'll put it over there. No, you can't do that. They're in Reading, the blueprint, folks. Not only we have to plan it, they have to look at it and say, this will pass. Folks, the church has rules and regulations, and a lot of people dislike them. Oh, they dislike authority. Oh, they dislike authority. They don't like church authority. They don't like parents' authority. I had a girl pick up a chair and just about hit me, threw it across the floor. She said, nobody's going to be my authority. No principal, no parent, no pastor, no policeman. I'll be my own. Parents, I'll tell you something. I don't think I have a message on the home plan. Well, I'll tell you something. You need a blueprint. You don't have a second chance to raise your family. You don't. You got one chance. You got one opportunity. That's all. Well, if you're going to have a good week this week, folks, make up your blueprint as to what you expect, how you expect to build. The guy that goes hunting, he just don't get his gun and say, well, I'm going to walk down Penn Street of Reading with it. You know. He has a gun. He knows if he's going to go for deer or if he's going to go for rabbits or pheasants or bear or whatever. He knows what he's going to do. Folks, we need to know. Don't just shoot in the dark with your life. If you do, you probably won't make it. Set a goal. I remember when I was a young father, my wife and I set our goals for our family. And I was always kind of a lively preacher, okay? And this old man came up to me and he shook his finger at me. And he said to me, he said, you talk like that when you have teenagers. Then I want to hear you. And then when you get old like me, then the young people think, well, he's an old, you know, what does he know about child training? You know, that guy, when he said it to me, it half ticked me off, but it was good for me. I decided there, I'm going to raise my family for the Lord. Well, now we got the blueprint, we got the foundation down, and now we're going to have to start building due to the time, and I can't find my notes. It might get shorter. See if I can find the blueprint here with all the things that I want to do. I can't seem to find it, but I think I can remember some one of them. Number one, you're going to have a prayer closet. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, I think it is. You've got to have a prayer closet, okay? The Bible says, what shall we do when you go into your what? Your closet. Most of you people can't even get in your closet. I know I had some little children go home already and actually open up the closet door to look in. What's in your closet? Full of shoes, full of clothing, full of hockey sticks, guns, you name it. The closet is full. And I'll tell you what, folks, the closet up here, the closet up here is so full. Empty your closet, folks. Have a closet that you can go into. And what do you do when you go into the closet? What does the Bible say? Let the door open or shut? Shut the door. Okay? Have a closet. Make sure you can get in it. When you're in, make sure the door is shut. You leave out your cell phone. Don't take that in. And you know what? In that closet, it's you and God. You and God alone. Now, most of the time, that's good enough for me. But I'll tell you one time, I was over in Nigeria, and Lee Mumaw and I were coming back. We're ready to come back to Nigeria, and I said to Lee, we better check our flight. We were there for about 14 days. I was ready to go home. Okay, Nigeria. The only thing you want to do in Nigeria is to be a witness. Nothing else there. Okay. Well, we came to the airport, and he said, there's no room. No room on the plane. Oh, man, I was ready to go home. Finally, they came and said, there was room for one. And I said to Lee Mumaw, the Lord laid it on my heart to go home. So, I left. How did I get in that story? I was going to make a point. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. So Lee stays back. And I get on this plane all by myself. And in Nigeria, their airport is like Haiti, but about five times worse. You got to hang on your bags. You got to hang on everything you got, or you won't have anything left. So anyhow, the plane takes off. And we landed in some country I still don't know to this day where I was. And I was all by myself. I couldn't understand a word they said. They were trying to tell me things. I didn't know I couldn't understand them. I didn't know what country I was in. I tell you, it was God and I alone. That was the only time God and I were a little nervous. But folks, in that closet, you know, I'm not a charismatic person. I try not to be, no. I am. People tell me I'm not a normal Mennonite preacher, okay? But anyhow, I have I lost my train of thought again. I'm trying to hurry too much. I'm watching the clock. Well, anyhow, oh yeah, that's what it is. You know when you're in that closet, folks, and it's you and God, okay? You and God. I'll tell you what. You know what? My wife here, she knows about everything I know. You know that? There's only a few things about me. Maybe it's a minister's meeting that I don't want to work her up, you know, and so I won't tell her. Okay. But because I love my wife, you know what? We share our inner secrets. When you're in that closet with God, folks, He will share with you inner secrets. And if you're not doing already what He told you to do, I can guarantee you He'll not share anything new with you. You can become stagnant in that puddle, mud puddle, and stay there because God is saying, I told you you're not even doing that. But I'll tell you, when you're obedient and you're in that closet and it's you and the Lord, and when you come out of that closet, folks, you will be charismatic. You and God alone. You're going to be shining. You're going to have boldness. You're going to have joy. You're going to want to preach. You're going to want to teach Sunday school, Bible school. When the superintendent comes around and says, would you teach? You say, they ask about one of your cows, and they can talk a whole hour about one of the cows you have. And then you don't want to teach. I'll tell you what, folks, that closet does miracle things. So in this house, you want to have a closet. Okay, so you can get in. Well, in this closet, in this house, you want to have good bread. Jesus said, I am the what? I am the bread of life. I hope none of you have any waiver children. But living there in the city, you know when the prodigal son, when he left his father and rebelled against all his authorities and went down there and spent all that he had, you know what it was that brought him back home? When the prodigal son stopped and thought with himself, my father has bread enough on the table, and here I am eating pig feed. Fathers, I want to tell you something. Mothers, keep bread on the table. Keep bread on the table. You know, when you have bread on the table, children there in the city, they come and they knock on our door and they say, can we have some bread? Or they'll say, can we have some water? And they just live across the street. And sometimes, I admit, I said already, just go home and get your water. You know. But what does the Bible say? You give a child a cup of cold water, you're not going to lose your reward. Imagine if you give them Coke, what will happen? You'll really get rewarded. So keep bread on the table, folks. You know what them children want when they come to the door and they want to drink? They don't want a drink of water. You know what they want? They want that spiritual bread. They want that love. They want that fellowship. They know that on that table, there is that living bread. The ladies go home and bake some bread and put it on the table. Men, too many fathers have broken relationships with their sons. And son leaves home and there's no bread on the table. All they can think of is a father that yelled at them, a father that got angry, a father that did this and a father that did that. And they don't want to do, they just want to stay away from dad. But when there's bread on the table, folks, your neighbors will come in. Excuse me for relating to my own situations, but our school, we're in the middle of the city. We have 150 students, and we have a long waiting list. We average a call a day for people to enroll in our school. One call a day. You know why they come? There's bread on the table. They see the bread on the table, and they want that bread. Living water. Out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers. Not just a creek or a run or a drip. Out of his belly shall flow. I was up there to Niagara some years ago with our students. And we were by the falls. And on the American side, you can go down the falls. And the rain, the water comes dashing down over you. I was scared. I thought this is about it. I said to the guy that was leading us, did anybody die here? All this water rushing down over, out of his belly, folks, shall flow rivers of living water. Well, let's talk about some light in the house. We got to have lights. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set in a hill, it cannot be hid. Folks, don't be ashamed that you're a Mennonite. Don't be afraid, ladies, to wear the veil. Don't be afraid, men, to be different from the world. Let your light shine. It shouldn't be that people are around you very long till they know that you're a Christian. I know I have a lot of opportunities since I live there in the city. When they come in to enroll in our school, I let them know right up front, Pop, Mom, if they have a pop, I say, our number one goal is to get you saved. If you don't want to get saved, you're at the wrong place, you know. We're out here to get you saved. I rent houses. I have houses. And I don't rent a house to anybody until they know I'm a born-again, Bible-believing preacher. Because they're going to get some sermons when I come. Folks, let your light shine. And I must confess, there's times that I don't let my light shine. And it's disgusting. I remember sitting in a hospital in a waiting room, and this rough guy was cussing and swearing. And the Lord said to me, let your light shine. Go over there and talk to this man. I said, please, Lord, not this guy. I mean, he's a rough character, you know. So I said, okay, Lord. I finally made a deal with the Lord. I said, I'll count to 10 with my eyes shut. And then I'll look up, and if he's looking at me, I know that. That's it. That'll be the sign, Lord. Childish, foolish. But I counted to 10 and opened my eyes, and he was staring at me. And then he gets up out of his chair and comes along and sits alongside of me and says, what do you want? Folks, let your light shine. Don't be afraid. You know what, folks, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says a number of times, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. There's a lot of people that are going to go to hell that they thought they were Christians, but they were ashamed. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed to be a Mennonite. I'm ashamed to identify with Jesus. That's a serious thing, folks, to be ashamed. Well, we got bread. We got water. We got light. We got a closet. We're going to have storms, folks. We're going to have to build this thing. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The closer that we get to the return of the Lord, I believe the greater the battle it's going to be. And we're going to have a house that's going to stand. Okay? We're going to have to build it good. We're going to have to make sure the house stands in all the storms. Well, there's one thing yet that is very, very important in this building situation. Let me see here. It might be in the book of Acts. Yeah. I'll tell you, folks, in our building program, the Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And whatever you do, okay, make sure that the honor and glory goes to God. Acts chapter 12, it's talking about Herod here, who was sitting on the throne and he was making a great speech. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. Folks, men, if it's your pickup truck that you think so much of, you better give God the glory. If it's your job, ladies, if it's your nice house, you better give God the glory. Don't say, look what I've done. Look at my nice car. Look at my nice pickup truck. Look at my church. Look what all I've accomplished. Folks, in all you do, and what a reward, when all you do, give honor and glory to God. When we don't do that, there's a violation, a code violation. Well, I think I'll close. As Jesus came down, God came down in Genesis chapter 11, 1 to 8, when they were building the tower and they were saying, you know, look what I accomplished. Look at this tower here. They didn't give God the glory. We know what happened there. Oh, I see a couple other things here that I missed. But I'm going to close anyhow. But there's only, you have to have a door in it, okay? And Jesus is the only door. Jesus is the only way. Folks, he's not being a Mennonite, a Baptist, a Pentecostal. I believe all them people are, from all denominations, are going to be in heaven. But as he comes and he checks your city, as he looks on you, are there any code violations in your life that you know that the Lord is not pleased with? When Jonah saw some code violations, you know what he did? He gave the people 40 days to change. I'll give you this week to change. Okay. Jonah went out and said, 40 days, 40 days. Code violations, 40 days to fix it up. And then when they did fix it up, then Jonah was upset again. Well, if you have a code violation, you know there's something in your life, folks, that you know that God is not pleased with. Why don't you ask the Lord or tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to fix what is broken. I want to bring honor and glory to you. Jesus said, Matthew, I believe, where he talks about the serpent in the garden. And he said how the people were bit with the serpent. But if you look to the cross, look to the cross, folks. It is only Jesus who can fix it up. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer this evening. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we could be together again this evening. And Lord, we are building a temple, the place where Jesus is going to live in our hearts. And Lord, we don't want the church to be a disgrace. We don't want Jesus to be a disgrace because of some code violations, whether it's anger, whether it's cheating, whether it's lying, whether it's immodesty, whatever it is, Lord. Lord, if there's a code violation in our hearts, Lord, we want to fix it. With your eyes closed, your heads bowed, if there are any here that you feel that there's a code violation that you know you got to fix, because the Lord has visited you this evening, he's come down to your city. If you have a code violation and you want to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I want to fix it, I'm going to just ask you to just raise your hand this evening so that you can fix it. Yes, I see your hands. Yes, I see your hands. Father in heaven, I pray that this week you'd continue to search our hearts. Lord, we know that when no joy and praise and obedience does not come out of our hearts, Lord, we know that there's some violation somewhere.
But our Lord, I want to thank you again that the church of Jesus Christ is so powerful that Satan cannot stop it. And I pray, Lord, that many souls would get saved because of this church. Many lives would be changed. Their children would all be safe and saved and serving you. Lord, I thank you for the word of God. And Lord, help us to willingly obey God's word. Because, Lord, in submission and obedience, there is just such wonderful joy. So, Lord, forgive us when we fail you. Thank you for your great mercy. Thank you for that marvelous grace of our loving Lord. The grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Thank you so much, Lord, for your patience with us as we go about fixing up what needs to be fixed and have a fireproof building. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Time we'll turn it over to our brother to close.